People don't believe they're just like three clicks away from getting whatever they were thinking about. Like, if you think you may have some allergies and you just want to get a baseline test and see what's going on, it's just another option. And if it, by the way, sometimes getting a negative result has value too, because it gives you peace of mind.
Especially if
People
it's an
think,
STD test.
yeah, there you go. You're right. But even if you think you have allergies and you're negative, you know, that gives you a certain peace of mind. If you think you're anemic, that's why you're so tired. Getting a negative test often is really helpful because then it allows you to move on to whatever really is the problem.
Welcome to the Business Ownership Podcast, brought to you by Awareness Strategies, helping you navigate the waters between entrepreneurship and ownership.
Hey there, peeps. This is Michelle Nedelec, and I am super glad that you're here with us today because I am here with my most amazing guest, Jonathan. Jonathan, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. So give everybody the highlight of who you are and what you do for business.
Okay, I'm a physician by trade, and I'm CEO of eNational Testing, which is a nationwide laboratory testing company that allows people to go online and order pretty much any routine laboratory test you can think of, and go, you know, usually within a mile or two of your house and have it done and get the results back to you, you know, in a day or two. So it's a new concept where we are making access to healthcare, especially laboratory testing, Amazon-esque, you know, just a few clicks, and then that's just another piece of your healthcare that you could be in control of and share that with your doctor and be part of your overall health care plan. So it gives you control, a little more control over your healthcare.
Very cool. Well, I already have a ton of questions for you, but let's back up the bus a little bit. And how did you get into this as your arena?
Well, it's an evolution of a couple of other companies that we had set up, E7 Health and US Drug Test Centers. And out of those companies, you know, we really morphed into a technology company. You know, I always joke, we do healthcare, but really our core thing is technology, and we're just masquerading as healthcare because what we found is the many obstacles in people's way of getting healthcare or access to healthcare is just the difficulty of getting things done. And we think we can leverage technology to overcome some of those obstacles. So over the past decade or two, we became a full bore technology company where we write our own software, our own platforms, and we use that technology to see how we can make healthcare more accessible to people. So there isn't a 4-week wait to see your primary care doctor, and then you got a clipboard and you wait 3 hours, and all of that may be necessary, but we want to complement that with other ways so people can get access to what they need.
Very cool. So, and I'm gonna get into this, I promise. But I am fascinated. How do you go from being a doctor into business and this level of business? Because business savvy and being an MD don't always go hand in hand.
Right.
How did
Yeah.
you figure out how to marry those?
Well, you know, I'm going to admit that there's this thing about doctors being bad business people, right? There's this, you know, it's a whole thing that
It's just
doctors
not the
don't make good.
focus, really.
Yeah, but on some level, I would actually argue that doctors should be the best business people. You know why? Because we go through so much training to be a doctor, like medical school residency, you know, internship, residency, fellowship, where we're all in a learning mode where we shut up and listen, you know, like, so when you're an intern or a resident, you just basically shut up and listen, right? You know, there are not many interns going up to their attending saying, you know, I actually disagree with you on that. You know, they, so on one level, I think we are the best sponges, and we are in this mode to shut up and listen, right? So once I started to venture out in the business world, I just used the same approach. I went to people who knew a lot more than me, and guess what? I shut up and I
And listen.
listened. I tried, you know, I wasn't the smartest guy in every room when I started this business stuff. I just, like, you go to the Michael Jordans of your field, that you want to get into, and you just like, okay, so, you know, teach me, tell, how does it work? Be, you know, find mentors and what have you. So I'm going to argue that physicians could theoretically, if they would go back into the mode that got them to that place, would make actually the best sponges and the best people that can be mentored. I think what a lot of us get to that place and we're like, okay, no more of that. I'm just going to be the smartest guy in the room all the time. Versus if you can go back to your training mode and say, okay, now I want to understand business. I want to understand how to be a CEO, how to hire, fire, build culture, you know, how to have a roadmap for my company, you know, how to manage the finances. Should we be spending less, more? Should we be getting more services, less services? You know, what's around the corner in the market? You know, can I see what's coming? All these skill sets which you need to acquire, physicians are great at acquiring new skills. So my argument is going to be you just have to keep being in that mode.
Well, and I like the direction of it, because a lot of entrepreneurs will say, oh, but I can't just go in and get a job with, you know, Bill Gates. But as a MD, to your point, when you have to apply for the internship, for the fellowship, for the all these things, you get used to going, hey, I want to study under you. Can I study under you? Okay, how about you? How about you?
In many ways, we've perfected that, because that's how we got to where we are, by shutting up and having someone else tell us things we don't know.
Wow. So when it comes to your business now, you say you have labs around the world. So people can go in and, like, tell me about the business concept. How did that kind of unravel? And how did you go from being kind of local to national?
Well, you know, we had written the technology anyway for our local clinics, and we had already signed up the national contracts for the labs and our lab partners for the local business. So it just seemed like a natural evolution. You know, we have the technology, and obviously we have to tweak it and modify it, and we have the business relationships set up already. So it just became an obvious progression. Steve, instead of just offering this locally to where we have brick and mortar clinics, to use our laboratory partners to offer it nationwide. So I think right now, pretty much if you're in any small, I mean, mid-size, or in any metropolitan area, or even mid-sized town, we're probably a mile away from your house or wherever you're sitting right now, you're hearing this. So it just made sense to make it that accessible, and write the technology. So, you know, why is it that people don't go to the hardware store to get a hammer anymore, right? Because you can, on three clicks, you know, get it on Amazon, right? Literally three clicks. So we said, you know, what happens if you could do that with your cholesterol test, right? Three clicks and you have your cholesterol test. So we thought that on balance, adding that control of healthcare to add to their relationship with their primary care doctor, their annual physicals, that this would be part of that, so they could incorporate that and use that as part of control of their healthcare.
Very cool. So if somebody is, so I'm assuming that they can just go in and they can request whatever they want, because they're the ones paying for it and they're the ones that are going to be given the blood. So why not? And is that how it works? Correct me if I'm
wrong. Yeah, so we have licensed doctors in all 50 states that will order the tests and get the results. And give them to you. But yeah, so you can basically order what tests you need, and go to the nearest location and get it done, literally with just a few clicks of the mouse. And in terms of paying for it, you know, our prices are super reasonable. But in these days, when people have $5,000 deductibles and, you know, a $50 copay just to see their doctor anyway, we actually think, and then the time and energy it takes, we actually think you actually are potentially saving money by going this route. So on balance, we think it's a positive move for the majority of people.
Well, and I particularly like it because I know of a few examples where people have said, hey, I think I need to have this tested. The doctor's like, it's not part of what's covered, so we're not going to do it. Whereas with what you're saying, it's like, hey, I really think that there's something here and somebody needs to look at this. And it allows people to kind of have an autonomy over their own healthcare.
Yeah, I agree. Again, it's meant to supplement your routine physicals and your doctor visits. So, that's really the spirit of it. But yeah, and also sometimes it's reassurance. By the way, I mean, I know so many times where people said, I'm feeling tired. I wonder if I'm anemic or not anemic. I used to be anemic 5 years ago. I wonder. So, I mean, it's meant to be complementary to your overall healthcare. And we think it's an amazing addition to people's control of their healthcare.
So right now, are you looking for physicians or labs to be able to work with, or are you kind of done that phase?
We're done. We have literally, we majored with some of the biggest laboratory groups in the country. So we're good. I think we just want to get the word out that this option exists for people. Mm-hmm. We're amazed at the response and how many people have responded, but yeah, we've grown the offering, to women's health package, men's health package, individual laboratory tests. So we're always trying to fine tune the menu to make sure allergy testing. So we've pretty much covered a broad range. STD testing, for example, there's an area that a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't feel comfortable necessarily maybe going to see their primary care doctor for something like that. And so if they want more anonymous sort of, STD testing, for example, it's an option. So literally, if you're single and sexually active and you want to have a check every once in a while, it's not a bad option to, do that and keep control of your health.
Thanks. So from the lab's point of view and the doctor's point of view, have you got feedback as to kind of what they have to say about it and how it's working out for them?
For the labs
and doctors.
I think we've heard nothing but good things. It's complementing everything everyone else is doing. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing addition and tool. We've had a really great response. People don't believe they're just like three clicks away from getting whatever they were thinking about. Like if you think you may have some allergies and you just want to get a baseline test and see what's going on, it's just another option. And by the way, sometimes getting a negative result has value too, because it gives you peace of mind.
STD test.
Yeah, there you go. You're right. But even if you think you have allergies and you're negative, that gives you a certain peace of mind. If you think you're anemic, that's why you're so tired. Getting a negative test often is really helpful, mm-hmm. because then it allows you to move on to whatever really is the problem.
Right. Well, yes. And I think it's that with the diseases that are coming out, right? Knowing that you have Lyme's disease over being fatigued is, the complexities of figuring out what we have, it has become perplexing unto itself. And I think it's only going to get more perplexing. So this is obviously advantageous. Have you got any feedback that you found shocking or particularly interesting?
Really, most of the feedback we get, and if you look at our online reviews, is just, why is this so simple? I mean,
we've been doing this for the last 10 years.
Why is this not more complex? Literally, if you look at some of our reviews, it's like, amazing. I can't believe it. It's almost like, why didn't Walmart create this? Or, why was this such a difficult thing to come up with? Sometimes when you actually come up with something, people look back and say, of course, yes. I mean, think about like Uber, right? If Uber didn't exist, right? And then someone says, I'm thinking about doing an app where you call for a taxi. Like, what are you talking about? That's never going to work. Now that Uber exists, of course, yeah, we can't live without Uber. So So it's the thing that once it exists, people are like, of course it should exist. Why shouldn't it exist? But before it existed, no one said, oh, we need this.
Right. So While we're here, let's talk about if somebody's interested in going and getting their own, I was going to call it a flight. That would be beer samples, not blood samples.
Well, right, there you go.
Wrong one. If somebody wants to go and get a sample done, where did they go to?
Yeah, just enationaltesting.com. It's literally three steps and you're there. You put in your zip code, find the location, find your tests, click, and you're on your way.
Nice. I love it. And now, if you don't mind, I'm going to pick your brain about the business side of things, because this is the part that I find fascinating. And looking at your business and being able to bring this software. So it was one, how did you come up with the idea? Was it just obvious that, hey, why is it so difficult to get lab reports done? Or was it something more complex than that? And what did you have to do to set it all up?
Yeah. I like to tell you it was like an epiphany where I was sitting on the couch and the whole, just like something hit me over the head. But what I have found, at least with our organization, is one idea opens another idea. So this, we all started with this concept back with E7 Health, our mother company. Why does information technology have to be so difficult? You know, the analogy we used to use is, let's say you want to know what you ordered on Amazon a year ago. You don't call Amazon, do you? Who calls Amazon?
Right?
If you want to know what you ordered on Amazon a year ago, you go to their website, you look at your previous orders, then it's there. But healthcare is a little different. You want to know what your blood test was 3 years ago. No one's giving you access to that, or not many people, and depending on if you moved or whatever. So we just said, why can't healthcare information be the same as Amazon? So for our clinics, for example, A7 Health, we don't have a medical records department. Why would we? Our records in your, if you had something done with us, it's in your portal. You own it, like you had it done, and it's there for the rest of your life. So this concept that healthcare technology has got to be covered up or compartmentalized or whatever. If the patient had it done, they own it and they should have access to 24/7.
Yeah, up until now has not been true. And it's been, a lot of governments are trying to centralize their healthcare in order to get the information on a person all in one area, but it's still for them. It's still that mindset of, the doctor knows everything and the doctor needs to know everything, and you don't need to know because you can't read this and you don't understand. And what you're talking about, I think, changes that and empowers people to start figuring out, like, you know, if something hurts repeatedly, there's probably something wrong with it. You should know, and, you know, one, my dad likes to say, if you got pain in your forehead, you should probably stop banging your head against the wall. But
right, I love it.
If you're not banging your head against the wall, go figure out why it hurts.
Right. Well, I think there is some, as a physician, I think we're always worried that patients, you know, may not be able to understand the results or whatever. But the point is, they should have at least access to it. And that should be complemented by the visits to their physicians and their healthcare providers and what have you. So it's never this way or that way. They're complementary.
Right.
So, but either way, how we got on this mindset of developing technology was this whole idea that everything should be in the cloud, of course, you know, secured and HIPAA restricted and all that, but allowing people to have access to their stuff. So once we went down that rabbit hole of putting everything in the cloud, having everyone have access, excuse me, to their health records, then we just kept, okay, so what's next then? What's next? And what's next? And once you get on that road where you have everything in the cloud and you're writing these platforms, which are Amazon-esque, if I can use that phrase, then you can say, okay, what's the outer boundary? Where can we take this along the same path? So you asked how we got there. And it was an evolution. Once we were able to accomplish some level of technology, then we just escalated and escalated to where we are. And we're working on more stuff right now. I mean, our development team is writing platforms and other stuff that we hope to bring to market to help improve people's healthcare decisions and lives.
So we are going to take a quick break and we will come right back because I want to talk more about what you're up to.
Are you running a business over seven figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over seven figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.
Excellent. So give us some, tease us some more about things that you're working on that you have going on.
Well, from the technology side, we have a couple of technology platforms we're working on, which I can't tell you right now. They're a few 6 to 12 months away, but we're excited about that, rolling those healthcare technology platforms.
Yep.
We have another thing that we launched that used to be an internal course for our company called High Converting Call Classes. It's called highconvertingcallclasses.com, where we have an internal course that we now made public on how to handle incoming phone calls to any business. The strategy is that when people call most businesses, while they may have a specific question like, do you have this model or do you offer that service? The first thing on their mind is that I call the right place, right? I mean, it's a, the, have I
when
called
you answer the
Michael?
Phone, hey, how's it going? It's probably not a good
right, 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 right. Or let me check on that. Or, what model was that? You know, there are certain things that you can certainly say that sends the message that they haven't called the Michael Jordan of business consulting or the Michael Jordan of whatever. And so we have a really, I think, an 8-hour, 10-hour course with workbooks and what have you to teach staff and yourself how to handle incoming calls. And what we have found when we put people through that training internally, mm-hmm. in our own businesses, the conversion rates on whatever the endpoint is, appointments, sales, whatever, often went from 30% to 70-80% because not that we had better products or better services, but there was a professional way of serving that up without sounding salesy that made the people comfortable that, hey, I am actually calling the right place because even their questions imply they're in the industry. If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
So, right. So if you even know what kind of questions to ask, that the questions themselves send the message that you've called the right place. And so that's another thing. It's called highconvertingcallclasses.com is that program.
Right. I love that because and it totally makes sense that as a medical clinic, you're having to train your staff how to answer the phones because again it's not in their schooling of this is how you answer a phone and this is how you and how you bring people in, right? Because oftentimes they're like your job is to just give information and they don't realize that their job is actually also to entice people in to the business if they're a good fit, and figuring that out on the phone is definitely a skill.
Right. Thank you. Yeah, we found that it makes a huge difference. It's not even enticing. I think when you call a business and you have a certain need, you know,
if you're bleeding, you need to know, are you going to fix my arm or not? Have I called the right place?
Have I called the right place? As I always say, the message you have to send is we do this in our sleep,
mm-hmm.
right? If you can send that message out, everything else falls aside. If think about it, you know, even if you go see a doctor, right, and he says, well, you need this surgery, and you say, well, how many times have you done this? I've done this 10,000 times. I'm like, oh, wow, okay. Versus if you get this feeling, you see the diploma, you just graduated 3 months ago. I'm not saying that wouldn't matter, but I'm just would or wouldn't matter, but. There's a level of reassurance. I'm not even saying pretend. Like if you genuinely have a business that you're a subject matter expert,
mm-hmm.
But the people answering your phone are not conveying that.
Yeah, exactly.
That,
because
oh my
you
gosh,
as the you... physician know that you can do the surgery, but the person answering the phone also needs to know.
And yes. convey that. Without, you know, actually saying it, but yep. you can actually, you, there are things you can do that mm-hmm. will convey that in a way that is professional.
Absolutely. Well, and I don't think people realize that somebody's, their mindset affects everything. So if somebody has a certain mindset of, you know, poverty thinking or whatever it is, they're not necessarily going to convey affluence on a phone call. Same thing mm-hmm. happens here, and competence, and you can use any term that you want your team to understand. And that's why the phone calls to me are of the utmost importance, because those are your first line of connection mm-hmm. with your potential audience. And it's where the most damage can occur on yes. your reputation, on your ability. I had a company once called Success Therapy. And I said, you have to over enunciate it and say it slowly. If you don't, your conversations are going to go sideways very right. fast. And just being able to say the name of the company and articulate uh-huh. it so that people yes. can understand it without having a, what did you just
right.
say?
Right.
I mean, you had me sold on being able to do that. So, and the fact that it's worked so well in your office that it became a product that you want to sell, that is fantastic.
Yeah, we really had amazing success with it, and it's really made a difference. And even our staff, one of the most common things they say is they're they're less stressed answering the phone because they're not just making things up on the fly. Because with no training, you just often babble whatever you want to babble. With proper training, you know, it's like if there's 10 steps to land the plane, you know, you go step not 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, versus some random steps and hope the plane lands. So what we tried to stress is just go through the process and don't worry about what you know, want to ad lib. Don't ad lib, just go through the process. And to many people's surprise, it's actually the reaction is so much better when they don't ad lib the phone call, that the normal intimidation of especially new staff answering the phone goes away, because it takes the guesswork out of it. You don't have to, if you got a question you've never heard before, you will know how to respond and not have to think on your feet and blab something,
mm-hmm.
Which is the wrong thing often, versus you have a strategy for almost everything in an honest, meaningful way where you convey the true essence of the business.
Absolutely. And confidence is definitely articulated through somebody's mm-hmm. voice, bar none.
For sure. You'll never hear our staff saying, well, let me see. I don't know. Let me check if we have that model. for example, even someone asks you for a model you don't know. You know, instead of saying, I don't know, can I put you on hold? You know, what we tell people is if they're asking something that's not in your wheelhouse, just say, you know, unfortunately, I'm not in charge of that department, but I know who is. Let me get you over to them. And that's a lot better than saying, never heard of that model. Let me see. And if you don't know, there's a way to say, I don't know, but I do know who does know.
Exactly. We used to train our staff to say, certainly, I will get you that answer.
Right.
It's utmost confidence, certainly. And we'll get you that.
Right. I think you're doing the same thing. So there is a way to convey professionalism even when you don't know the answer, like in this case.
And I'm just going to hit on this because this is the bane of my existence. If you ever leave a message, most people go, hi, calling to, and they articulate the message very well. And then they get to the number and they go, brr, because they know the number off by heart. It's like, no, brr, through the message, and then articulate and slow down during the number, even though everybody's got call display, you never know.
I love it.
That's my public service.
We'll have to have you on the course.
My public service now.
Yeah, so, we have a segment on how to leave messages, but go, yeah. It's funny you should say.
Oh, peeps. Okay, so give us the links again because I know people need those.
Okay, so call highconvertingcallclasses.com.
Nice. And the other one for the lab test.
enationaltesting.com.
Awesome. So we will, of course, have all of Jonathan's links in the show notes. You can scroll down, open up in a new browser because we're not done yet. Because Jonathan, I get to ask you, at what point in life did you know you're a special kind of crazy enough to think that you could become an entrepreneur?
Yeah, thank goodness it wasn't a spur of the moment thing. It evolved so slowly. It was like watching grass grow, right? Like just, I don't think there was a day I woke up and said, oh, I'm going to be... It was one door opening another, literally. You know, you do a little bit and you're like, wow, okay. And then sometimes you open a door and you're like, oh, wrong door. And then, but it's, people ask me all the time, they think it's like you had some sort of midlife crisis and said, I'm going to be an entrepreneur. But the reality is much more boring, where it was literally one door opening another. And next thing you know, you're knee deep into it.
I love it. You have been absolutely awesome. Any last words for our peeps?
No, just thank you for having me. We're really proud of eNational Testing. So definitely check it out and see if it can help you in any way. The high converting call classes is also another option for people who have businesses that take a lot of incoming calls. I think it will really help a lot and make you look more professional. But no, thank you for having me. It's been nothing but a blast.
Awesome. Peeps, this is Michelle Nedelec. Thank you for being here with us today. Be sure to subscribe to the show and share it with your friends. We love helping entrepreneurs grow.
Are you running a business over 7 figures but still struggling with technology headaches? Pay attention. You do not want to miss this offer. This podcast episode is brought to you by Awareness Strategies, who is offering a custom-built digital adoption roadmap for anyone running a business over 7 figures who's wanting to grow their business in the next 5 years. And it's not just a roadmap. They offer full implementation as well. If that scares the out of you, check out awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap for more details today. The link's in the show's notes. Don't regret not doing this. Do it now. That's awarenessstrategies.com/roadmap.